Electric automobiles are becoming maybe the norm now. They're certainly not the exception. Tesla just announced that for the third quarter, they produced something over 80,000 cars, which is 50% above their all-time high. Jaguar's got one. Their Chevrolet has an electric car. But I would argue the most beautiful electric car that was ever made was the Fisker. Unfortunately, they went bankrupt about 5 years ago, but Henrik Pfister is at it again, and he joins us right now. It is good to have you with us.
Good to be on the show.
Thank you. So you've got this new company, OEM Fisker Inc. You're working on a new car. How far away are you from bringing it out?
Well, we have been at it since 2016, and we are kind of taking a whole new approach to an electric vehicle. We are... We're actually working also on, of course, battery technology alongside the vehicle itself, but we will be launching our high-volume vehicle with probably traditional batteries and then phasing in a new type of battery. So we're still a few years away for actually launching the vehicle. We're in the middle of the development, but we'll probably maybe show something and share a little bit more about it next year and show something end of next year. But we're still a few years out. We're also working on an autonomous shuttle. This is going to go into some testing end of next year. And then, of course...
Tell me again, an autonomous shuttle, you're saying?
That's right, a fully autonomous shuttle. It can hold 8 to 12 people. It's going to be tested on some corporate campuses. So we're developing that at the moment as well. It's a very exciting program.
But one of the most exciting things you talked about is a new battery. This has been the breakthrough, I think, that everybody's been working on. They're expensive. They're heavy. They catch on fire. They're all lithium ion. Tell us about this one. I understand this is a solid state battery that you're working on.
Yeah, so we're working on developing our own internal proprietary solid-state battery technology. It's obviously not an easy task. There is a lot of development still in that area, and specifically a lot of testing, and we have to design new machinery because this has never been done before.
But remind me of why this is important. This is, you can hold more energy. Is that what it is?
It has several advantages. One is that it can hold, our technology can hold about twice as much energy as today's lithium-ion battery. So that actually means that it's if you have the same power, it's half the size, half the weight. So that's one advantage. The other is that it doesn't have the sort of explosive tendencies that today's lithium-ion batteries have in terms of flammability. It's a lot safer. It also can charge faster than today's lithium-ion batteries, and it's a lower cost. We expect it to be about half the cost of today's lithium-ion batteries. So it has a lot of advantages. However, that said, we have built a few batteries, but we now have to fine-tune it. We have to figure out how to scale it up, and we have to lay out the supply chain, do a lot more testing. So we're still several years away from getting that into sort of a high volume.
So the battery, I gather, could be something like a third of the cost of the car. It actually could cost more than the motor itself, right?
Yeah, so the batteries today are very expensive, and it is a major part, the major part of the cost of electric vehicles. So getting to reducing the cost significantly in a battery, that is what we need to do to truly get mass market EVs and get affordable EVs to market or comparable to the same size gasoline car.
Let me take you to another direction. I noticed you were named to the board of directors of First Cobalt, and that you all are trying to clean up the way, I guess, that cobalt is mined. I was unaware that there was a problem with cobalt. So first of all, is cobalt used in today's batteries?
Yeah, cobalt is used in today's batteries and it'll also be used in future batteries. It's an important part of what goes into the battery. It's actually what stabilizes the battery. So it is a very important material. And today it is mainly mined in a very few areas in the world. And one of them is Congo, which is obviously not has a history of not following, you know, a lot of the sort of international rules and regulations when it comes to labor, etc. So the reason I joined First Cobalt is really because they are focusing on ethical mining of cobalt, and they have acquired a very large cobalt mine in Idaho. And I've actually visited that mine, and they're doing a lot of testing, and they've found a lot of cobalt there. So it's a very exciting project, and exciting to be part of a company that is contributing so early in the supply chain. And it's very important, I think, to understand the supply chain, specifically on batteries, both on the ethical side, also on the cost side and the supply side. So that's why I decided to join specifically First Cobalt.
So tell me your thoughts about the acceptance of electric cars and the current electric car market. I mean, it's vastly different from when you secured a $500 million loan from the government and started building your cars on the East Coast.
Yeah, first of all, we of course never really got that total loan. That's an important thing to say, but there's many reasons for that. It's definitely a different market. At that time, there was only three battery companies, and you know, we were stuck with, of course, A123, which were a startup, which then went bankrupt in the middle when we were launching our car, which were a major issue for us, obviously. But reality is today, the entire supply chain of electric components are much more mature. They've had many years to sort of ramp up. So today you have much more choice when it comes to batteries, electric motors, inverters, and everything else you need, which essentially makes it easier today. It's, of course, not an easy task to start a new car company or electric car company, but it definitely is easier today than it was, 10 years ago when we were showing the Fisker Karma for the first time.
So is the electric car the heir apparent, I mean, to the internal combustion engine? We've heard, you know, Toyota is still working, I guess, on hydrogen, and CNG automobiles have been touted out there for a long time.
No, I think the electrification is the clear winner. We can all charge our vehicles at home if you have a garage, and the electric charging network is getting expanded globally, and also here in the U.S. There's now thousands of chargers available, and in a few years it'll be probably so there will be enough chargers that everybody can get across America in an electric car. So therefore, it's the clear winner. It's clean energy. We can generate electricity clean. We can generate it here in the U.S. And of course, globally, it'll help for the environment. And generally, an electric car is just very pleasant to drive. It's quiet. It's fast. It's instant torque. No gear shift. So it's clear it's where it's going. I think it is the winner because that is where we have invested most, both in terms of development and the infrastructure. So I don't see hydrogen and natural gas being even close to where we're going with electric cars.
All right. Well, we can't wait. So I guess we're a couple of years out from seeing your latest automobile. Can you tease us, though? Will you have the butterfly wings back?
Well, you know, we're doing something very exciting. I'm trying to see if I can reinvent a certain market segment with the electric design that we're doing for a high volume car. And I definitely want to find a perfect balance of usability and beauty of the design, and of course the efficiency. So we're really trying to move some goalposts here and not just make another car. That's for sure.
Henrik Fisker is the CEO of OEM Fisker Incorporated. Good to have you with us. We wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good to be on the show.
Thanks a lot. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.